ठाकुर दयार सागर, ते दासे करुणा कोरी
ओए वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर, ये दासे करुणा कोरी
ओहे वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर, ए दासे करुणा कोरी
ओहे वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर, ए दासे करुणा कोरी
दिया पद छाया शोधो हे अमाया तुम्हार चरण दोरी
दिया पद छाया शोधो हे अमाया तुम्हार चरण धोरी
छाया वेग धोमी छाया दोष शोधी छाया गुण देहो दासे
छाया वेग दोमी छाया दोष शोधी छाया गुण देहो दासे
छाया सत्संग देहो है हमारे बोशेचे संगेर आचे
छाया सत्संग देहो है आमारे बोशेचे संगेर आचे
एका की आमार नहीं पाया वाला हरि नाम संकीर्तने
एकाकी अमारा नहीं पाया बाला हरि नाम संकीर्तने
तुम्हें कृपा कोरी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देह कृष्ण नाम धने
तुम्ही कृपा कोरी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देहो कृष्ण नाम धने
कृष्ण से तुमार कृष्ण देते पारो तुमार शकतिया छे
कृष्ण से तुमार कृष्ण दीते पार तुमार शकतिया छे
हमी तो कंग कृष्ण कृष्ण बली भाई तब पाछे पाछे
हमी तो कंगाला कृष्ण कृष्ण बोली दाई तब पाछे पाछे
हमी तो कंगा कृष्ण कृष्ण बोली धाई तब पाछे पाछे
अमी तो कंगाला कृष्ण कृष्ण बोले धाई तब पाछे पाछे
ओह वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर ये दासे करुणा कोरी
ओहे वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर ये दासे करुणा कोरी
ये दासे करुणा कोरी
ये दासे करुणा कोरी
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे
वैष्णव ठाकुर आचार्य ठाकुर
जय आचार्य ठाकुर
श्रील प्रभुपाद
की जय
और भक्तवृंद की
जय
कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन
की जय
श्री राधा वृंदावन चंद्र की
जय
श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी
की जय
श्री गौर निताई
की जय
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण वी वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर द फर्स्ट सेशन ऑन नेक्टर ऑफ इंस्ट्रक्शन नाउ एवरी संडे बिटवीन 7 to 8:30 वी विश टू डू दिस प्रोग्राम फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ ऑल ऑफ यू We had done before Bhavataranga, Nectar of Devotion, which many of you might have attended. Now we will seek the blessings of our Guru Parampara and our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Sanatan and our current Acharyas to bless us that may this wonderful literature of Nectar of Instruction, Upadesha Amrita, become revealed to us and we understand it well and get the shakti to apply it in our lives and benefit from these very vital teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami because we are all called as Rupanugas. Of course we are Prabhupada Anugas, we are all followers of Prabhupada and Prabhupada says in this book this movement of Krishna consciousness is being conducted under the supervision of Rupa Goswami, he says. In that way, we are all Rupanugas. So, amongst the 8 manjaris who are most intimate associates of Srimati Radharani, Radharani has 8 sakis and 8 manjaris. Rupa Goswami is the leader of the 8 manjaris in the spiritual world. So, we are all put in the custody of that Rupa Manjari or Rupa Goswami path, who has given us this text, especially for sadhana bhaktas. So two books are very important for application of Krishna conscious philosophy in daily life. One is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, another one is Upadeshamrita. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu teaches about the science of devotional service. Prabhupada called that as the law book of ISKCON, to teach about all the different five rasas and all the spiritual emotions. And this book is about starting with sense control and ending with Radha Kund. In this way, this book teaches many practical aspects of our spiritual life. How should we lead our spiritual life? You earlier heard about this 9 stages of bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This book, Nectar of Instruction, is going to help us to develop through the 9 stages of bhakti also. Each verse of NOI corresponds to a particular theme in a particular stage of bhakti, like you see here. The first 7 verses correspond to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. 8th verse talks about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And 9, 10, 11 verses talk about Bhava and Prema Bhakti. You see? Which means it takes us from Vaidhi Bhakti to Prema Bhakti. This is such a beautiful book. Actually, it's a thin book. It is teaching us many important principles in sutra format, by applying which we can achieve Prema Bhakti. And I have given you more details now. First 3 verses talk about Shraddha, awakening Shraddha. And then 4, 5, 6 talks about how to associate with saintly people, Sadhu Sangha. And 7th verse talks about Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha and Ruchi. And 8th verse about Asakti. And 9th and 11th about Bhava and Prema. So these are little more details about this verse, shlokas. Which means it's only 11 verses book. That's all. So this I will not explain. You all know this. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya. Initially, you are attracted to some devotee when you are going in the road. With a little faith, you are curious. Why these people are wearing a tilak and kantimala, playing mridangam, dancing in the street? While your friend may be laughing, ridiculing them, but your heart is not ridiculing. You think they are serious people. They are distributing books. They are well behaved. They are distributing prasadam. Looks like good people. Let me cross the road and meet them and inquire from them who they are and what they do, what they are up to. That is Shraddha. Little faith you get. Then you go and meet them and you see them. They have a beaming smile on their face. Very happy people. They are very friendly people. Highly positive energy they are exuding. So then you ask them, where is your center? By the way, I would like to meet you all. Then you take their card. Then you go to the temple. Then Sadhu Sangha happens. When you meet them, you associate with them. And then they tell you a little bit about Krishna consciousness. They give you some books, give some prasad. And then as you keep going, then they give you a mala. And they tell you to chant Hare Krishna. Then Bhajana Kriya starts. Then you hear the classes and chant and hear the holy name. And then gradually you find all bad habits go away. Smoking, drinking, cinemas, pubs, everything is gone. One becomes cleaned up in one's habits, character, behavior, everything. And then you become a serious devotee now. Nishtha. And then from that stage on, you develop a very strong taste. Then you read the literature, more deeper literature, associate with devotees. Then you also preach Krishna consciousness. In this way, it develops the stage of attachment to Krishna. You can never leave Krishna's lotus feet. And then eventually, emotions start arising in the heart for Krishna. And then the prema is a full-blown love for Godhead. In this way, these are 9 stages given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. See, here is a thematic overview. What each verse is highlighting on. First verse talks about controlling our mind and senses. Second, third and fourth verses, which we sang in this song just now. Chaya vega domi, that is second verse. Chaya dosha, Chaya vega domi is first verse. Chaya dosha shodhi, that is second verse. Please clear those 6 unwanted things. Chaya guna deho dase, that is third verse. Give me 6 things favorable for Krishna consciousness.
Chaya satsanga.
That is 4th verse.
Deho hai amare.
Please give me these 4 things. Let me give up unfavorable things, accept favorable things. And anukulyasa sankalpa, pratikulyasa varjanam. Like that he says. See, anukulyasa sankalpa means, you know, I will accept things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness, no matter how painful or how difficult they may be. Like rising early in the morning, in chill winter, and taking a bath and chanting holy name. It's very painful, but I will still do that. Because it is good for my spiritual life. And pratikulyasa varjanam means, I will avoid things unfavorable for Krishna consciousness, no matter how pleasurable they may be. I may like to do many things which are sinful, which are not allowed by Shastra. So I will not do that, no matter how pleasurable they may be. So in this way, and the 5th, 6th, they talk about dealing with devotees. 5th one talks about how to deal with different type of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama, Adhikaris, and how to deal with them. And 6th verse talks about avoiding material outlook in our dealings, which is a cause of aparad. If you avoid material outlook, you can avoid aparad also to devotees. 7th verse talks about the glories of the holy name. And then 8th verse is talking about, you know, smaranam, meditation on Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. And then 9th and 11th talk about Radha Kundan, the glories of Radha Kundan, attaining the ultimate destination. See, the preface given by Srila Prabhupada is very important. In the preface itself, Prabhupada gives us a mood, mission, everything. So here Prabhupada is reading here. No? Prabhupada says here, you have the book, NOI book? You can, or I can show here also, should I show it? Preface. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says, of whom 6 Goswamis are Vrindavan, are direct disciples. Here if you see, preface, I have given you 3 points here. It talks about the goal of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which I will show you very soon. To reach the perfection in Krishna Consciousness, one must follow the instructions of 6 Goswamis, Prabhupada says. How? By controlling the mind and senses as instructed by Srila Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita. Here he gives, you will see that, the Goswami's literatures, writings, they greatly help us to understand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write any book. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only spoke this Shikshashtakam, 8 verses, and he left us with that. But he invested his Shakti in Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, from whom we come to know the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Lord Chaitanya's heart was known to Rupa Goswami, who is giving us through his writings what Mahaprabhu has ordered us to do. So the mission is, Prabhupada says, to understand science of Lord Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And Krishna's pastimes and activities with gopis are not easily decodable by common man. But by studying Goswami's literatures, it becomes very easy to understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself appeared in the mood of gopis, especially Radharani. And the loving affairs of Radha, Krishna, gopis and Vajabhasis, if you understand, we can also enter into that one day. So, from this slide on, a few slides I have showed you in Bhavataranga also, just to introduce Rupa Goswami. So, I will not elaborately do it here. This is the Dashashmedha Ghat, where Rupa Goswami is sitting under the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu spoke to him, teachings, Rupa Siksha, based on which Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhaktir Samra Sindhu and Upadeshamritam. Yeah, this is what I told you just now. He knew the heart of Lord Chaitanya. In the Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, it is said Rupa Goswami is Sri Rupa Manjari. Radha Krishna in the Golok Vrindavan, they are served by 8 principal gopis, of whom Lalita Sakhi is her dearest friend. These intimate maid servants of Radhika are assisted by 8 main manjaris. And amongst those 8 manjaris, Rupa Goswami is the leader. Yeah. So these manjaris do a lot of service, like carrying messages, preparing some juices. They make garlands. They play instruments. They assist Radha Krishna also. So that is a Siddha Deha. When they come to this world, they accept a sadhana deha. Like here you see Rupa Goswami is sitting and writing a literature, Radharani is watching. So, their pure spiritual forms as maid servants, these 6 Goswamis plus 2 more, Lokanath Goswami and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, they all together form the Ashtamanjaris in the spiritual world. So, you can understand the role of Rupa Goswami, how fortunate we are to work under him in his sampradaya, and they all get an opportunity to serve the divine couple Radha Krishna. So these are all the different manjaris names of all our acharyas. We have given you a list here. We can leisurely go through it. So we will offer our prayer to Rupa Goswami before we begin the उपदेशामृता के नाना शास्त्र विचारणैक निपुणौ सद्धर्म संस्थापकौ लोकानां हितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविन्द भजना नन्दे नमत्तालिकौ वन्दे रूप सनातनौ रघुयुगौ Shri Jiva Gopalakau. Read the translation.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the 6 Goswamis, namely Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami and Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the 3 worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna.
Shri Goswami ki, Shri Rupa Goswami ki. The glories of the author we heard just now. See, the third point I have written, what purpose is. With respect to our movement, Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Rupa Goswami, purposes. And what is the purpose of the subject in NOI, Nectar of Instruction, purposes here? To guide our activities and to help us become pure Vaishnavas. Two purposes he is saying. From morning we get up, what should we do all day as devotees? Because the many people don't know which one to give emphasis. You know, because of not knowing the emphasis, many times devotees end up doing anything. There are people doing yatra after yatra after yatra, whole year also there are people. And therefore, Rupa Goswami teaches us in this book how to keep balance. How to not go into the prayas zone. There is a karma prayas, jnana prayas, yoga prayas. So we will learn many things. How should we lead our spiritual life? Every day, all day, every week, every month, how should we lead our life? So the book guides our activities. What activities to do? Which activities will give me spiritual advancement? Which activities will degrade me? All these things are given. And we are living in a society of Vaishnavas. How to associate with them? How not to associate with them? How to see them, how not to see them. How to get access to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who are our adorable object of worship. So therefore we need to know the activities we have to do with our body, mind and words. There in Nectar of Devotion we learnt also, that Anukulyana Krishna, Anushilanam, Bhaktirvatama. So Krishna Anushilanam, how to do? That is NOI. So there are 64 principles we learnt in Nectar of Devotion. Those activities are all called as Bhakti Sukriti producing activities, which are very nice. We can do that. But along with that, doing those Bhakti Sukriti producing activities, the Nectar of Instruction will teach us even more down to earth, very practical life items. You will see that as we proceed. So one is to guide our activities of our senses, mind, everything. And another one is to help us become pure Vaishnavas. Because we don't want to do these activities to become yogis or jnanis. We actually want to become pure Vaishnavas. Our purpose of controlling mind and senses and become a Jitendriya is not to show the world that we are sense controlled, but actually we want to become pure Vaishnavas. So this book is meant for becoming pure Vaishnava. See, read that. Above purpose is fulfilled.
Above purpose is fulfilled by the book in the below mentioned two ways. One, by teaching one to stop serving mind and senses and become a Goswami.
Yeah, what is the meaning of serving the mind and senses? See, the mind and senses can serve you, or you can serve the mind and senses. Say, for example, I have a smartphone. The smartphone can be a very valuable tool in my hands. You know, I can actually make phone calls, I can see some YouTube lectures, I can hear some kirtans, and I can also keep my calendar or whatever, and I can use it whenever I need it. So, which means the smartphone is actually my assistant. But I can become a slave of smartphone. When? When I see that even during eating I am looking at the smartphone. Even while going to lavatory I am going with the smartphone. And at night I am keeping the smartphone with me, which keeps making beep beep sounds of so many, you know, WhatsApp messages, and my sleep is broken. So my eating is broken, sleeping is broken, health is broken because of smartphone. Now is smartphone my friend or enemy? Like my enemy. So I have become a slave of smartphone, I have become attached to it, and I can't live without it. Yeah. So in this way, instead of smartphone serving me, I have become attached to it. So that's what happened. Like you see, Duryodhana is the son of Dhritarashtra. So he is supposed to assist his father. In his father's goal, as a son. Son is supposed to walk behind the father and do what the father says. But the father became attached to the son. So what happened? Dhritarashtra, instead of keeping Duryodhana as his assistant, he became a slave of Duryodhana due to material attachment. You see that. Similarly, we all can become slave of our mind and senses. For example, if I eat food through my mouth, the tongue is tasting the food, which is very nice. And then the food goes in the belly and I get energy. So in this way, my senses, my tongue and my mouth are my servants, because they are helping me to put the food in the belly, which gives energy to the body. When I get energy, energy means capacity to do work. After eating the food, I get energy and I can do some service. Yes, then they are my servants, tongue and the mouth and everything. But now, if I become greedy for eating, say very, very tasty foods, and day in and day out I am hunting for food here and there, cutting a sorry figure. Or if I am overeating food and getting obesity, I am eating junk food and getting big, heavy body, and which is all the time lying down and sleeping and I am drowsy, then the tongue and belly have become my masters and I have become their slave. Correct, no? In this way, our senses can be assistants to us in our bhakti. Or we can become slaves of our own senses. Like for example, the genitals can be utilized for begetting children be raised in Krishna conscious way. A grihastha can do that. But if somebody is agitated by sex life, the senses are clamoring for sex life, then one can become a slave of this sense, and one may indulge with any woman, anywhere, without any restriction, and one may get sexual diseases, and one may get AIDS, one may die prematurely, because he has become a slave of this sense. Instead of this sense assisting him in his Krishna consciousness, he became slave of this sense. You can see that. So therefore, he is saying that by teaching one to stop serving mind and senses. So Prabhupada gave an example in one of his books. He says that the fish, you know, while swimming in the ocean, it gets abundant food provided by God in the ocean. But some fisherman is putting a tackle from the top, meaty bait. He is hanging with a hook. When the fish sees that meat piece, it develops a greed for eating it. It goes up and catches the meat piece and he just pulls it out. So due to a greedy tongue, fish lost his life due to the greedy tongue. So is the tongue assistant to the fish or the tongue made the fish a slave? The tongue made the fish as a slave. So he became a tongue das. Who? Fish. Yeah, that is his problem. Similarly, Prabhupada says that, you know, the moth with his eyes sees the fire and the fire appears like, a sunflower for him. So he dashes into the fire and gets roasted and dies. Similarly, our eyes are always chasing after the attractive opposite sex. So if somebody is chasing after beauties in this world, beauty here, beauty there, beauty in the computer, in different places. So such a person's eyes actually eventually make the person a slave. He runs here, runs there, and he gets slapped sometimes, he gets beaten up by police, he is put behind the bars. So he has become an eye das. He has become servant of his eyes. So that means the senses are not in his control. He is in the control of the senses. You know, the Upanishads talk about an example of a horse having horse chariot, having five horses, and which are drawn by a charioteer. And the driver of the five horses is the intelligence. And the ropes are the mind. And the horses are the senses. So intelligence, driver, and the mind is the ropes, and the horses are senses. Now if the intelligence driver is very stout and strong, you can just pull the ropes, then all the horses will be under control. Otherwise, if you let the rope loose, similarly, if you allow the mind to go loosely here and there, result would be the senses will go wild. Then the whole chariot will topple. And the soul is the passenger sitting behind and he is seeing the whole chariot going like this and he is in turmoil. So all of us are the Atma residing in this body. By not controlling the senses, you know, we will become servant of the senses. Then we are called Godas. And by controlling the senses, we will become Goswami. So that's what he is saying here. By teaching one to stop serving the mind and senses, and become a Goswami. That means we should not allow the senses to wander in the way they want to wander. Like you see, a deer is in the forest. You know, when the deer hears somebody playing a veena, some sound, immediately goes in the direction. His ears are up, he goes in the direction. And then immediately the hunter puts a rope around his neck and catches him. Deer gets caught. Because he was attracted by the music, he went there. Similarly, the elephant is attracted to the she elephant. And then they put some bamboo sticks and capture him by putting him in a pit. And he gets caught because of attraction to the skin of the female elephant. Attraction with the opposite sex. He got trapped. The elephant which was wandering all over the forest freely, now he has to be in the circus, you know, putting his 4 foot in one small stool. He has lost all his freedom, you see. So therefore, our senses can make us slaves. And once you become slave of the senses, we are miserable. Like I was telling a story yesterday, the monkey in the forest is free to jump from tree to tree, eat different fruits and live very happily there with his family and friends, everything. But a man puts a bottle of nuts, you know, like pista, badam, kismis, kaju, all those things he puts in a big bottle, heavy bottle. So the monkey puts his hand, once he is holding it, he is not able to bring his hand out. And the hunter is coming close, but this fellow is attached to it. So because of that, when he comes and catches him by the hand, then he puts a rope around his belly and the monkey is caught. Now the monkey is a slave of the hunter. It goes village to village. He has to jump over a stick back and forth. All he has to do, you know, service to that hunter. So he has lost his freedom. So you want to be like the monkey in the forest who was freely living in different trees, eating berries, blackberries in the forest. You want to be like that, or you want to be like the monkey bound by a rope who has to jump this way, that way. He's made a slave. He's a slave monkey now. So our mind and senses make us slaves when they are impure. When they are purified, then the mind and senses will become your assistants in devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Similarly with the man, what can you do? Man mana bhavamad bhakto. We can do that. Therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Uddharedatmanatmanam atmanam avasadayet atmaivahi atmano bandur atmaivare buratmanah. Arjuna, use your mind to elevate yourself. Don't use your mind to degrade yourself, he says. So the mind can lead you to bondage, or mind can lead you to freedom. So the choice is yours. So here in this book, Rupa Goswami Pad will teach us how to stop serving our mind by becoming slaves of the mind and senses, and then how to become a Goswami, he is teaching us. See what Prabhupada says? The first duty, it's the first duty of all the spiritualists. Without becoming a Goswami, there is no possibility of spiritual advancement, Prabhupada says. And also this book helps us to promote ourselves to Sattva Guna, Prabhupada says. And it makes the path of Krishna consciousness very clear for us. See, if we are in Rajaguna, Tamaguna, the path is very clouded and a lot of stumbling blocks are there for us. Our own lust, anger, greed keeps us very preoccupied in the material world. But when we follow this, these verses of Rupa Goswami, we come to Sattva, and Sattva platform is a platform of clarity, clear vision and clear thinking. We can advance fastly in spiritual life. It also teaches us how to start serving Lord Krishna and how to become a pure devotee. So if you see these two goals of this book, the one is about Tani Sarvani Samyamya, first one, if you see. And the second goal is Yukta Asita Matparaha. These two things it teaches. You know the famous verse in Bhagavad Gita? It is 2.62, I think, second chapter in the 62nd verse, I think. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehiyas yendriyani tasya prajna patishtita. Krishna is saying that one who restrains his senses and does not let them wander here and there, and one who engages his mind and senses in my service, he is a man of steady intelligence, Krishna is saying that. So these two are the goals of this book. It teaches about restraining the senses and becoming a Goswami, and engaging the senses in Krishna's service and becoming a pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta. So Prabhupada writes in the preface, please read that, advancement in?
Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the followers.
Attitude means what? What is that attitude? What is your attitude towards eating habits? Food. What's your attitude towards food? What is your attitude towards sex life? What is your attitude towards, your work, your job? What type of work you do? Are you a workaholic? Are you a irresponsible fellow? Similarly, eating, do you overeat? Are you under it? Are you nominally eat? And similarly, do you utilize sex for procreation of children, or you are, misuses it and invites trouble? Similarly, what is your attitude towards others? Dealing with your juniors, your equals, your seniors. What is your attitude towards Vaishnavas? Do you see them with jati buddhi? Or you see them as transcendental? What is our attitude towards the holy name and holy dham? So, actually, attitude is all that matters. It's very, very important. Therefore, you will see in the Upadeshamrita, for example, the word prayas is used, karma prayas, jnana prayas. That means, in work, one is doing prayas. It's a wrong attitude. So, there are six wrong attitudes given in the second verse. And the right attitudes, utsaha, nishaya, dhairyat, tattat karma pravartanat, sangatyaga, there are right attitudes and they are given. Similarly, for example, how do you use your mouth? Do you use your mouth to speak useless talks, prajalpa, or you use your mouth to speak about Krishna consciousness? So, the right attitude is to always be sober and silent and use the mouth only for glorifying Krishna. So in this way, this book is all about attitude building, attitude development. I read the second one.
Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instructions for the neophytes. Follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful.
If one wants to begin bhakti in a very serious manner, this is the best book. It's like a handbook for a practitioner. So now we are going to the text one. Let us recite the verse. See, the third main point we are saying about the necessity for controlling mind and senses. A person who has mastered this control of mind and senses is fit to be a guru. That's what this verse says. So we'll recite this verse, okay? Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam.
Manasa krodha vegam.
Jihva vegam udara upastha vegam.
Jihva vegam udara upastha vegam.
Etan vegan yo visheta dhiraha.
Etan vegan yo visheta dhiraha.
Sarvam api imam prithvim sashishyat.
Sarvam api imam prithvim sashishyat.
So, here there are six vegams that are going to be explained in this verse. The vegam means a kind of urge. So in the Ayurveda, it is mentioned that there are certain vegams which should be restrained, and there are other vegams, urges, which should not be restrained. Because if these urges are not restrained, they will give problem. These six urges, if you don't restrain them, then we will get problem. And there are other urges which should not be restrained. For example, if somebody wants to go to washroom, pass stool, is getting urge. Sometimes one thinks that, oh, I have to complete this work. Another half an hour I will wait and then I will go. No. If you are getting urge to pass stool, immediately one should go and release it. Otherwise, you will get pain in the back and then eventually you will see it will turn into poison. It's very bad for the body. If you are getting urge to pass urine, you are getting urge to pass stool, these are all called mala. Mala means impure substances and structures in our body which should not be retained by the body, which should be thrown out of the body. Like mucus, if it is blocking the nose, finish, throw it out, it's gone. Similarly, stool, throw it out. Urine, throw it out. One should not keep it in the body. So those urges, should they be controlled or not controlled? No. Similarly, you want to sneeze it off. Don't try to hold it. So these are urges, Shastras say that one should, release as per the demand of those urges. Like, for example, after eating prasad, you feel thirsty for water. Should you drink or not? Or you think, after an hour I will drink? No. When you're thirsty for water, you should drink water. Similarly, when you're hungry, if you don't eat food, then the pitta increases. So then you get disease. So when there is a urge, the gastric juice is now creating a hunger. Immediately one should put the food at the right time. So in this way, some people actually don't eat on time and they get ulcers in the mouth. In this way, you can see that there are urges in the body which Shastra say that they should be answered. Those urges should not be controlled. Then there are other urges, the Shastra says, which should not be released. For example, Vachovegam. Vachovegam is actually urge to speak. So in this world, due to all souls being conditioned souls, there is a very strong urge to speak nonsense. You see in the train and other places, people keep on talking and talk about politics as if they know a lot of things. People want to show to others around that I know so much about politics. People talk about history, people talk about politics. People talk about religious riots which happened in the past and they dig unnecessarily some bad vibrations in the train. Similarly, people talk about sports, people talk about movie actors and actresses. People talk about what is good and what is bad. Some people say Indians are good, other foreigners are bad. So in this way they talk about what is good, what is bad, and it can end up in argument. Somebody is saying the Ayurveda is good and allopathy is bad. So in this way you will find sometimes when people talk, it ends up in a... So useless talk goes to argument goes to debate goes to fault finding goes to blasphemy. So you will find that is Vachavegam. You will see that in the same manner, manasvega means mind always is demanding. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita it is explained, it's like these five fingers, you see, they are like five senses. Shrotram, Chakshu, Sparshanam, Rasanam, Granam, Evacha. Shrotram, Chakshu, Sparshanam, Cha, Rasanam, Granam, Evacha. Adishtaya, Manashtaya, Vishayan, Upasevate. Five senses are enjoying the Vishaya. And then, Manashtayam. Mind is the central figure. All of them, while enjoying, they supply inputs to the mind. Like eyes are seeing some poster, and they give it to the mind. Similarly, the tongue is tasting gulab jamun, it's giving to the mind. This is the way gulab jamun tastes. Or Kerala juice. No, I don't like it. So likes and dislikes are supplied by the senses to the mind. Eyes are supplying, nose is supplying, ears are supplying, skin is supplying. All of them. So after that, the mind is storing the purva anubhav or the experience. And the mind also has many material desires to fulfill. So mind's demands. Mind says, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's asking. It's demanding always. So therefore, the mind's demands, impure demands. Similarly, the krodha vegam is the anger. Anger is one letter short of danger, it is said. It is a very powerful force. And the urge of anger, if it is exceeding a certain limit, it can lead to destruction. There was one professor, teacher in our school days, when I was in my 7th or 8th standard. So this professor sometimes would get so angry. So he would take a duster and throw it. Can you imagine? Of course, some students will catch it. Sometimes he would throw on the people like that when he gets very angry. So, and he would ask me, my name is Ramakrishnan. Ramakrishnan, if this fellow does not do his homework tomorrow, what will happen? Tell him. And he has already told me what I should tell. The answer is that he will give him a good beating to break his bones. So there are some people who cannot control their anger. Anger, vegam, jihva vegam is the urge for the tongue, which is eating. And udara vegam is the urges of the belly. And upastha vegam is the urges of the genitals. So the six vegams are mentioned here. And we will be getting into each of them little in more detail. Yetan vegan, he says, these urges, yo vishaheta dhiraha, a dhira purusha means a person who is actually a sober person, who is actually controlled in his mind and senses, if he can tolerate these urges, six urges, sarvam api imam prithivim sashishya, all over the globe he can make disciples, he says. Actually, that's a very great secret behind this verse. You may wonder that where is Krishna here? Without Krishna here, simply controlling senses, you can make disciples? You may have a question. So if you go to 11th canto, I'll show you a verse. See this verse, 11.8.20. Indriyan jayantyashu nirahara manishinah vardayitvatu rasanam tan niranasya vardhate. He says here, Indriyani jayanti. Yogis conquer their senses. Jayanti. Jayanti means they conquer. How they conquer these six urges? Very easily, he says. How? Nirahara means what? Nirahara. Don't give them any ahara. Ahar means, yeah. See, all of your experience on Ekadashi day when you don't eat food, your body and senses become very completely weak. You are like a balloon without air. You become very weak like that. Nirahara. Manishana means buddhiman, very intelligent people. And varjayitvatu rasanam, when you fast the tongue, when you don't allow the tongue to taste delicious foods, what happens? Tat nir annasya vardhate. Because of not giving annam to the tongue, vardhate means it becomes extremely greedy. 10 times more greedy now. By not giving anything. Therefore, you will see some people say in Kartik month, I will not eat sweet. So maybe 15 days, 20 days they follow. But the moment they decide to break that vow, that now I'll eat sweet, whatever they didn't eat in Kartik month, you know, they will take with compound interest, they will take sweet the next month. And they, therefore you find there are many people, in South also one group of people, they go to certain mountains, certain demigods they worship. So they wear black dress, blue dress, and they follow for 40 days. They follow certain principles and everything. But after 40 days, they will again get back to those bad habits again. Only for that they keep a vow. In this way you will find, if you try to, actually if you control the tongue is like the rudder in a ship. In a ship, at the bottom of the ship, there is a tongue type of rudder. If they turn the position of rudder, immediately the whole ship will turn. Similarly, with this, if this tongue is controlled, whole body can be controlled. From the tongue only, problem starts, and by controlling tongue, the body can be controlled. But here it says that nirahara, if you control the tongue too much, the tongue becomes extremely greedy, and it will end up eating more than what he was eating before. Again, all the senses, once you eat a lot again, they all go out of control again. Back to square A. Like that he says. Then what to do? The next verse he says.
Tavajitendriyonasyat vijitanyendriyapuman na jayet rasanam yavat jitam sarvam jite rase.
He is telling. Tavajitendriyonasyat. As long, he is saying, as long as you are not a sense-controlled man, jitendriyasyat. Vijitanyendriya. He is saying that one who has conquered the senses, vijita anya indriya puman, one who has conquered all other senses, he is saying, other than the tongue. Puman na jayet rasanam, if he has not conquered the tongue, jitam sarvam jite rase, which means when the tongue is conquered, everything is conquered, he is saying. See the translation. Although one may conquer all the other senses, as long as the tongue is not conquered, it cannot be said to said that one has controlled his senses. However, if one is able to control the tongue, then one is understood to be in full control of all the senses. You understood, no? You know, you have how many senses? You have 5 jnanendriyas and 5 karmendriyas. Correct, no? So out of all the senses, he is telling, if one has controlled the tongue, you can control all the senses. So now coming back to this verse, Vachavegam verse, in that Jihvavegam is there. So if you have controlled the Jihvavegam completely, then the shloka is over already. Because all other senses are automatically controlled. Like that he is saying. So if you read the purport, it's a very amazing purport. You will see. Please read this.
By eating, one gives energy and activity to all of the senses, and thus if the tongue is uncontrolled, all of the senses will be dragged down to the material platform of existence. Therefore, by all means, one must control the tongue. If one fasts, then all of the other senses become weak and lose their potency. The tongue, however, becomes more greedy to taste delicious preparations, and when one finally indulges the tongue, all of the senses quickly
go out of control. Correct, this is what I was telling. Yeah.
Therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur advises that one accept Mahaprasadam or the remnants of the Lord's food in a moderate proportion. Since the tongue's function is also to vibrate, one should chant the glorious holy name of the Supreme Lord and taste the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Rasavarjam Rasopyasyam Param Drishtvan Nivartate. Only by the higher taste of Krishna consciousness can one give up the deadly lower taste that keeps one imprisoned in mental bondage.
Now comes the secret Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is going to reveal now.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that as long as one's intelligence is materially covered, one cannot understand the pleasure of Krishna consciousness. Trying to enjoy without Krishna, the living entity leaves the abode of the Supreme Lord called Vrajabhumi and comes down into the material world where he quickly loses control of his senses. One becomes particularly victimized by the tongue, belly and genitals, which exert intolerable pressure on the conditioned soul. These desires subside, however, when one re-establishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord.
Here comes the point. Here comes the point. Just now I told you, 1 minute, I'll mark this one. See here. This is the connection. Read this again.
One becomes particularly victimized by the tongue, belly and genitals.
See, they are in one line. Tongue, belly and genitals, they are in one line. That means if tongue is uncontrolled, then the belly will become uncontrolled. When belly is uncontrolled, it applies pressure on the genitals, that becomes uncontrolled. So then one becomes a Godas. One is not a Goswami. Yes.
Which exert intolerable pressure on the conditioned soul. These desires subside, however, when one re-establishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure.
This is the connection. That means the first verse appears, there is no Krishna element there. But here is a Krishna element. That means nobody in this world can control the senses, one who has not become Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada says there are three categories of people, karmis, jnanis and yogis. Karmis struggle to enjoy the senses and repeatedly get slapped and whipped, and they suffer due to the senses by trying to enjoy more and more. They are frustrated. Bhog se rog hota hai. So when people get rog by bhog, then they not give up the rog, they do yoga. After the yoga, they go for yoga class. Now I have done too much bhog, now I will do yoga now, and again become healthy, so that I can again do bhog. And after bhog, what will come? Again one more rog will come. So, and this program goes on for the karmis, non-devotees. And what the jnanis do, they struggle to control the senses by their own endeavor, but they also fail, Prabhupada says. The karmis don't try to control the senses. They simply want to enjoy the senses and get frustrated. But jnanis try to control, oftentimes they are seen to fail. They cannot control the senses on their own, by their own effort. And Prabhupada says, yogis, by meditating on the Supreme God in their heart, they are able to control the senses. But the bhaktas, they don't make any effort to control the senses at all, Prabhupada says. Why? They have no time to endeavor to control the senses, because all their senses are busy somewhere else. Where are they busy? Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchyate. They have a completely positive spiritual engagement with the senses. So, senses only when you leave them free, then only they are going to look for material engagement. If you engage them spiritually, they are completely engaged spiritually. Like eyes are looking the beauties of the deities, ears are hearing Krishna Katha, and tongue is tasting prasad or glorifying Krishna, leg is walking to the temple or dancing in the kirtan, intelligence is making plans how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement, how can I use my body, mind and soul for body, mind and words for engaging in Lord's service. This is actually the secret of becoming a complete Goswami. If one wants to become Goswami, one has to completely become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That is actually the secret of controlling the senses. Because the karmis are trying to enjoy the senses and they are terribly suffering. We are seeing that in this world. And jnanis struggle to control. They are able to some degree, but again they fail. Sometimes imagine you keep a lion or a tiger captured in the forest tied with a rope to a pole. And the lion is just waiting. They have caught me now, I have to escape now. Any time this fellow is little inattentive, the lion or tiger will slap on his face, cut off the rope and run away into the forest. So this is an example given by Rishabhadev in the 5th canto, 5th chapter. You will see that he says that Na karhichit kuryat sakhyam, he says. Na karhichit kuryat sakhyam. Never make friends with the mind. Mind is a great cheater, because mind and senses will anytime cheat. You slap you on your face and they will run away into the forest. So jnani's senses are like that, because they are impure. They are not yet fully purified. You can artificially keep them under control for a while, but they will lose control. And the yogis are able to control to some degree, but they have to constantly keep vigil also. Whereas bhaktas, their senses are all engaged in Krishna service fully. Here, that's what he is saying. Read the sentence again.
One becomes particularly victimized by the tongue, belly and genitals, which exert intolerable pressure on the conditioned soul. These desires subside, however, when one re-establishes one's blissful relationship with the Lord, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure.
Therefore, one should make lot of plans and programs for, expanding one's own Krishna consciousness. Like, for example, lockdown period, when it came, I immediately thought, how will I use my body, mind and words? I always used to extensively travel before. If I am not traveling, what can I do? So everybody in your own way you have to think. Morning to night, how am I spending my time? Am I fruitfully spending my time in Krishna service morning to night? Or I am wasting my time? Am I lethargic? So there is a saying in English, an idle man's mind is a devil's workshop. As soon as there is an idle time, there is a tendency for going in the wrong track. So there should be no room for that. So he says that if we re-establish our blissful relationship with Krishna, who is actually the reservoir of all pleasure, these desires subside, he's telling. This is the secret of subsiding the desires of the tongue, belly and genitals. And then read further. One who
is attached to the taste of Krishna consciousness automatically follows all of the rules and regulations of religious life due to spontaneous attraction to Vishuddha Sattva or the mode of pure goodness. Without such spontaneous attraction, one is certainly bewildered by the pushing of the material senses.
Yeah.
Even the beginning stage of devotional service called sadhana bhakti, regulatory practice, is so powerful that it brings one to the platform of anartha nivritti, where one becomes free from unwanted sinful habits and gain relief from the pressure of the tongue, belly and genitals. Thus, one is delivered from the bondage of material addiction and can no longer be cheated by the allurements of the material energy. As it is said, all that glitters is not gold. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends that we consider
the famous song, Sharira Vidyaja, which we chant every day, has given the song along with the translation. Yeah. Yeah. So, read this one.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the business of the tongue is to gratify itself with the varieties of flavor. But by wandering in the 12 holy forests of Vrajamandala, Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, one can be freed from the 12 flavors of material sense gratification. The five principal divisions of material relationship are neutral, admiration, servitude, friendship, paternal affection and conjugal love. The seven subordinate features of the material relationships are material humor, astonishment, chivalry, compassion, anger, dread and ghastliness. Originally, these 12 rasas are flavors of relationship or exchanged between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity in the spiritual world. And by wandering in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, one can re-spiritualize the 12 flavors of personal existence. Thus, one will become a liberated soul free from all material desires. If one artificially tries to give up sense gratification, especially that of the tongue, the attempt will be a failure. And in fact, one's desires for sense gratification will increase as a result of artificial deprivation. Only by experiencing real spiritual pleasure in relationship with Krishna can one give up material desires.
Yes, beautiful point. So what he is saying here, just now I told you a few minutes ago that by becoming very Krishna conscious and keeping ourselves engaged, you know, our senses will be engaged and the senses will not hanker for material enjoyment, I told you. But how to do that is explained here. He is saying that there are 12 rasas, correct, no? Like Shantaras, Dasaras, Sakiras, Vatsaras, Madhuriras. And there are seven more secondary rasas, total of 12. So these rasas should, all of them are experienced in relation with Krishna in the spiritual world. Whereas the same rasas in the material world, the living entities are trying to enjoy them in relation with other living entities. For example, when one is at home as a small kid, you know, then one wants to experience Vatsala rasa with mother and father. Then one grows up and go to school, then one wants to exchange rasa with one's friend, Sakya rasa. Correct, no? Then after that one goes to college, one wants to have conjugal rasa with some girl in the college. After that one gets placed in a job, then he has a dasiras with a boss. Boss is my master, his das. So you will find the same rasas are in material world, but they are misery producing in this world. Whereas he says that in the spiritual world, they are in relation with Krishna. And then in this way, by connecting with Krishna, we'll become a liberated soul, free from all material desires, he says. So this is the connection of the sense control having connection to Krishna consciousness. That means the precise answer I want to give you, nobody can become a true Jitendriya without becoming a fully absorbed devotee in Krishna consciousness. If one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his senses and senses will become like snakes without any poisonous tooth. What is dangerous in a snake is the poisonous tooth. And what is the poisonous tooth? The poisonous tooth is a propensity in our senses for enjoying mentality. So when we become very, very Krishna conscious, and our senses, for example, I have eating habit. You know, once my tooth of enjoying mentality is removed, you know, I will eat very simple prasad just to keep body and soul together. Similarly, you know, tongue has the propensity to speak. Once my Krishna consciousness is awakened, then I will always be careful not to speak prajalpa and speak glorification of Krishna. And I have all the enjoying mentality is lost. In this way, all the urges can be very easily controlled by becoming Krishna conscious. And one who is not Krishna conscious, who is that? That is Karmi Gyani Yogi. Even if they control these six urges, they may be able to do for some period of time. Like Vishwamitra, how many times he lost his tapabalam? Repeatedly, he tried to control, he lost control. Again, he tried to control, he lost control. Saubramuni lost control. You will see many examples like this. Many rishis, munis, you hear repeatedly in Puranas and other places, that inability to control the senses. So therefore, one should know these six urges, what Rupa Goswami is saying. Why is he saying that after controlling the six urges, you can make disciples all over the world? Because you would be a Goswami or a Jitendriya only after you become a Pakka devotee of Krishna. And then, naturally, such a devotee can give shelter to millions and millions of people all over the world. Correct, no? That's the meaning. So I have proved it to you from the 11th canto verses. So these urges should be controlled. And then the next class, next Sunday when we go, we will go into every minute detail. But now I want to say one more thing. See, this is the key themes in Nectar of Instruction. The mind, it teaches about how to control mind and senses, and our attitude, and ISKCON's goal, purpose, and guru-disciple relationship, sadhu sangha, and the kinds of devotees, and how do we behave with different devotees, and the bhakti, and the stages of bhakti I showed you already today. So in this way, many important themes are covered in this booklet. See, this is Anuti commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Piyusha Varshini Vritti. Shower of Nectar Vritti. He has written this commentary of explanation of Upadeshamrita. So, read what is Vritti?
Vritti, acting for one's livelihood in a manner suited to one's personal nature. Such action may be carried out either in pursuit of selfish desires or in accordance with the laws of God.
Yeah. But Anu actually means in Parampara. So Anuvritti commentary was done by Bhaktivinoda Saraj Thakur. And Piyusha Varshini Vritti commentary was done by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Both are for this thing, NOI, Nectar of Instruction book. So therefore Prabhupada quotes that in the purport also. So this already we showed you before. Yeah. This is a very nice summary. I found it very interesting, so I have given here. Please read it. Summary of text 1 to 7.
Yeah. How to recognize a qualified spiritual master? How to prevent a spiritual fall down? How to make spiritual advancement? How to begin to experience love amongst devotees? How to associate with devotees from the perspective of a Madhyamadhikari? How to avoid committing offenses? How to completely cure oneself from ignorance, that is offenses, by beginning to taste the sweetness of the holy names.
See how beautifully this summary is given. These are all the essential things we will be learning now as we proceed. See, from Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, we go to Bhava Bhakti and then Prema Bhakti mature. So, here, this is Bhagavatam 4.9.11, Prabhupada saying something interesting. Please read it.
By devotional service only is one elevated to the transcendental planet Goloka Vrindavan. And there also there is only devotional service, for the activities of devotional service both in this world and in the spiritual world are one and the same. Devotional service does not change. The example of mango can be given here. If one gets a unripe mango, it is still a mango, and when it is ripe, it remains the same mango, but it has become more tasteful and relishable.
Just like if I am an AFI devotee, I am like a kacha mango. If I become a pure devotee, I will become like a pakka mango. which is more tasty, delicious. So many a times we find very pure devotees, they are very sweet in their dealing and very mature in their Krishna consciousness, and it is a very great joy to associate with them. While the neophyte devotees are like kacha mango, and they fight, they quarrel, they misunderstand, and they are selfish sometimes. So therefore Prabhupada gives example of a mango. Go ahead.
Similarly, there is devotional service performed according to the direction of the spiritual master and the injunction and regulative principle of Shastra, and there is devotional service in the spiritual world rendered directly in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are both the same. There is no change. The difference is that one stage is unripe and the other is ripe and more relishable. It is possible to mature in devotional service only in the association of devotees.
Yes. So here you see, there's animal life, and then when we surrender and association of devotees, when we come to, we are like a bitter mango in the early stage. Then when you go to sadhana bhakti, we are slightly sour. See, there is bitter, there is bitter sour, there is sour, and sour sweet, and bhava bhakti is fully sweet, and prema bhakti is condensed sweetness. In this way, we progress in our bhakti gradually. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Shaknoti haivaya sodum praksharira vimokshanat kama-krodho-udbhavam vidhi. This is sayuktasya sukhi naraha, Krishna says. That means, he says, one may ask, these six urges you are talking, we have to tolerate. Till when? We have to tolerate. One day? Or 1 month? Or 6 months? Or 1 year? How long we have to tolerate? So Krishna has given a clue for us. He says, till your last breath, you have to tolerate these urges. Because if you misbehave by not following, not controlling any one of these urges, you incur sin. Correct, no? For example, I am misusing vacha vegam or manasa vegam, krodha vegam. So by misusing these things, I am going to accumulate more and more sinful reactions, which will eventually come back to me. Right now, what I am indulging by, and because of this, I am hurting other living entities by this. So therefore, he is saying, before giving up the present body, one should be able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger. And he is well situated and he is happy in this world if he can do that. And Prabhupada says here, if you really want to make progress in self-realization, he says, one must try to control the force of material senses. And then Prabhupada is saying the same thing, see? Vacha vegam, krodha vegam, manasa vegam. And then he is saying belly, genitals, tongue. Same thing he is saying, six urges. One who is able to control this is a Goswami, and then he says such a Goswami lives strictly controlled lives, and they forego altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatiated, generate anger, and thus the mind, eyes, chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is duty of the transcendentalist to try to strenuously to control the desire and anger. Not only just try to control. How we should try to control? Strenuously. We should make a great effort. Because in the sthita prajnasya kabhasha samadhistasya keshava sthitidhi kim prabhasheta kim asita prajetakyam. So there is asking, Arjuna is asking three questions. I heard about a person called sthita prajna, who is a self-realized person. How does he sit? Sorry, how does he speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? He is asking. So there in the commentary of Acharya, as it is mentioned, how does he speak means, if somebody shows him affection or somebody else shows him anger, so how does he respond to that? Does he become angry with an angry person? Or does he become attached to a person who is showing affection? So how does he respond back? That is Kim Prabhasheta. How does he speak? And how does he sit means, how does he restrain his senses? How is he situated in this world? Because this body has senses and the mind and senses have urges. So how does he restrain the urges and sit in this world very peacefully? How is he getting that shakti? That's the meaning. And how does he walk means, he is not going to be in Congo forest or somewhere. He has to actually walk, go in the outside world, see the other living entities. So then when he is going in the road, going in the marketplace, going in the station, going to airport, in all these places, for all his five senses, there are objects. So while moving about in the world of sense objects, how does he not get distracted and carried away or fall down? Correct, no? So then Krishna gives an example of, two examples are there. One example is of a tortoise. A tortoise is progressive animal, you know. It just keeps moving forward as long as there is no enemy. The moment he detects the enemy, what he does? Immediately he withdraws his senses and shows the back. Now the enemy cannot kill him because he has gone inside. He shows only the back he shows, isn't it? Similarly, like we had one activity they told us to do in one of the seminars, they said, when I say Maya, you have to do like this. When I say Krishna, you have to do like this. You ready? I will do this exercise. Krishna, Maya, Maya, Krishna, 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 Maya, Krishna. Okay, so you are very alert. You are alert tortoise, isn't it? So therefore you will find tortoise in many temples, Vedic temples you will find at the entrance. Why? Because the tortoise, example is given, because like tortoise, we all should release our senses when you go to temple. See the Lord with your eyes, smell the flowers which is offered to Lord, drink the charanamrita with your mouth, with the leg jump up and down, then wave the hands and dance. That means exhibit all your senses in Lord's service in the temple. Therefore the tortoise example is given. And then when we go out, like tortoise withdraws. Similarly, we should not, cinema poster is there, one should not stick one's neck out of the sumo or vehicle. Either one should not want to watch the poster like this. So one should not stretch senses out. Rather what you should do, if you are moving out in places where there is a lot of distraction, just take one Bhagavatam volume, just get into it. You are so absorbed, you don't even know the world outside. Like that is the tortoise, isn't it? Another example is given of the snake, which I told you. Like snake has tooth, and the tooth is poisonous, and that's what people fear about the snake. But if the tooth is removed, then you can even put the snake around your neck. It's harmless actually for you. So our senses will become harmless, provided we remove the enjoying mentality in the senses. And the best way to remove the enjoying mentality is to chant very carefully, attentively, sincerely, seriously, take to the spiritual life very, very nicely, and we purify the senses. And the senses, just like iron rod put in fire, becomes fiery. Similarly, the senses which are put in Krishna consciousness lose the tooth completely. Like one example, I'll tell you, try to understand this. You know, sometimes when you cook in a big patela in the kitchen, and then you transfer it to all the pots for serving prasad to devotees, that patela, sometimes if you leave it like that, say for half an hour or 1 hour, and then you take it for washing, it will be very difficult to wash. Correct, no? You know, you try to scratch it, even the metal gets affected because of too much scratching. On the contrary, you take a jet pipe and then fill up the vessel with full of water. And then just leave it for half an hour, 1 hour. Do your other activities and come back. Correct, no? And then you take the scribe or something, and then you do like this, everything will come out. You all might have done for your prasadam plate also, correct, no? Because when you soak it in water, the attachments are weakened. Similarly, you soak our heart in Krishna consciousness, metal attachments are weakened. They find, my Lord, it's difficult now, this Krishna has come inside now, so they can't stick on. They will all get weakened, and then our unwanted material desires are all driven out very easily. So therefore we have to, that is the way that we remove the tooth of, you know, enjoying propensity, or bhogavritti, we can remove. So let me answer some questions now, and we'll proceed with this verse next week, when we come on Sunday evening next week, okay? Is the one? Okay. Yeah, Murari Prabhu from Isakad asking, Prabhu, can you please explain to us detail about the manjaris? Oh, I spoke about it in Bhavataranga. If you didn't attend that, you can go back to that video and see. I spoke some pastimes also. I told about the manjaris and everything. In little more detail I spoke there. Therefore, I didn't speak here. If you see, you will find there, okay? Another question is, he asks, What is the difference between 8 Sakhis and 8 Manjaris and millions and millions of gopis in spiritual world? Okay. The Sakhis are like, you know, 12 years, 11, 12, 13 years in that range, and the Manjaris are like 6 years, 6 or 7 years. They are younger. Just like in a plant, you find newly grown leaves, tender leaves you find in a plant. But then the tender leaves after some time grow and become more bigger leaves, thick leaves. So when they are at the very tender stage, of early stage of the growth, that's called Manjari, flower also. Similarly, these little Manjaris are little gopis. They are younger gopis and they are assistants to the Sakhis. And they serve Radha and Krishna with eatables. They also bring garlands and they bring flowers. And they are assistants to the Sakhis. And then there are Radha and Krishna have very dear Sakhis like Lalita and Vishakha on the right and left side. They are the most intimate Sakhis of Radharani. Then there are Ashta Sakhis who are actually expansions of Radharani. They are called Kaya Vyuha. You find in Mayapur, those 8 Sakhis. They are all direct expansions of Radharani. And then even the other gopis are also called Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabir Yayeva Nijarupa Taya Kalabi. So Prabhupada says that they are also expansions of Krishna's energies. They are all made of Sachidananda Vigraha bodies. So amongst them, there are Radha Snehadikasakis, who are very fond of Radharani. Then there are Krishna Snehadikasakis, who are very fond of Krishna. There are the Paramapreshta Sakis. So those Paramapreshta Sakis are Sakis very, very dear to the Lord. 108, isn't it? Very dear ones. And there is a Prana Sakis, there are Nitya Sakis. So in this way, there are various categories of Sakis, and each of them have some specific details. I would suggest that you first complete Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and then Bhagavatam and Chaitanya-charitamrita. In Bhagavatam, you will get more details on this. Dheeraj Prabhu is asking, I haven't completed Nectar of Devotion yet, so is it okay for me to attend this NOI, or should I have to complete that first? No. You can attend NOI. NOI is more easy than Nectar of Devotion also. Nectar of Devotion is a little more advanced book. So this will be easy for you, and this is more practical also. Murari Prabhu is asking, if Srila Sanatana Goswami is the guru of Rupa Goswami, then how come Rupa Goswami became the leader of all 6 Goswamis Prabhu? Okay. Actually, Rupa Sanatana, both of them were initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells them that your name is Dabirkas Sakar Malik, but today I give you the name Rupa and Sanatana. So all the 6 Goswamis are actually, in that sense, they are disciples of Mahaprabhu. And our Jiva Goswami was late to arrive. He is the youngest one amongst all. So Jiva Goswami came to take shelter of Sanatana Goswami, and he handed him over to Rupa Goswami. Otherwise, all the Goswamis are disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sanatana is the eldest. So he is very elderly. And Rupa Goswami is the younger brother. Sanatana is the elder brother. So Rupa Goswami always respected him as his master, his leader. But amongst the 6 Goswamis, Rupa Goswami was the most confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we say Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, we say. So because of that, Rupa Goswami is considered very special. And in the spiritual world, amongst the Manjaris, Rupa Goswami is the leader. But in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we consider him also leader because he is the leader of the Manjaris in the spiritual world. Therefore, here also we accept him as the leader, and he was the most intimate and confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. And although Rupa Goswami is the leader, just like for example Arjuna and Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir is elderly and Arjuna is young. But who is the commander-in-chief in the army? Arjuna is commander-in-chief. But that doesn't mean Arjuna doesn't respect Yudhishthir Maharaj. Okay, Rajesh is asking, we have a wide collection of incense sticks, albums, toast to offer for the pleasure of the Lord, but I have seen that there is a tendency in me to purchase always the fragrance that I find inspiring during chanting or kirtan deep within. I am not comfortable with this thought process. Please help me. No problem. If you are liking some fragrance very much and you think for Lord also it will be very nice, it's just like Shabari. Shabari tastes of fruit and thinks, oh, this fruit is very tasty. I think Ram will like it. So it's not wrong to offer it because the fragrance is very nice, and because you are liking it and offering to Lord because of appreciating the fragrance, Lord will accept it. What are all the prescribed books recommended sequentially from the beginning for stepwise progressing? Oh, you are in GGD voice. Your seniors will give you, we have a list of books in the same hierarchy in which we have to read Prabhupada books. You should ask them, they will provide you. And Vimal Rana Prabhu is asking from Dhanbad, to control the senses we need superior intelligence, but when sense objects come before us we can't restrain, determination and right intelligence not come at that time, although we have to read Shastras how to develop very concrete intelligence. See, you are talking about intelligence, but I told you in the lecture today, although a driver of the chariot is intelligence and mind is ropes and the horses are senses, the intelligence can be strengthened by study of Shastra. But jnanis are very intelligent, very knowledgeable. Jatatoshyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pamatini haranti prasavam manaha. Krishna says, even though they are very intelligent, still the senses cheat them, the jnanis. Therefore, I read that two purports from 11th canto I showed you, that the only person who can actually be a Goswami means one who is fully absorbed in devotional activities. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana. Then you will never have time for dwelling on this kind of problems and worries. Fully we have to engage in Krishna service. And Saurabh Yadav is asking from Pune, please forgive me if I am being offensive. I am immature. Recently one of my friends raised a doubt on the authenticity of CC and Lord Chaitanya being God, which has come to my head. I could not answer him. I have a very beautiful article, 8-10 pages, on how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Lord, tens of dozens of scriptures. I have got that article. Please remind me. We will upload it in this today's this thing only, along with this. We will upload it. You can go through it. Okay? And I could not answer him perfectly, as he kept on saying to be Sampradayic literature and all the references from Puranas and interpolations which are not to be found anywhere in the original versions. Oh, what does he think to be original? That is his version. He is thinking something to be original, which is Mayavadis have removed some verses, that he will say it's original. So therefore, these kind of people who are faithless, there is no limit to argument. We can go on arguing. So there is no end to that. If he really wants to argue on a Shastric basis, we have Kanya Krishna Prabhu in Pune. You are in Pune only, can bring him to temple. And he is one of the SAC members. SAC is Shastric Advisory Committee members. So ask him to put Puranas, he will put his Puranas. Let us discuss. Welcome. Himanshu Ranjan Prabhu is asking, what is the difference between control of tongue and control of belly? Oh, that you will know when we discuss about the six urges elaborately. It will come in the next class, we will discuss. Amrit Prabhu is asking, Swami Kananda says Upanishads are conversation between kings, while Prabhupada says these are more advanced parts of the Vedas. Actually, there were also kings who were Rajarishis asking questions to the sages, and the sages give answers. And there's nothing wrong in that, because the sages are speaking actually the absolute truth, which is coming in the Vedic lineage to the kings. Even Krishna says to Arjuna that I gave Vimam Vivasvate Yogam, Proktavanaham Avyayam, Vivaswan Manave Prahaman. So Krishna says, I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan, Vivaswan gave it to Manu, he says. So the knowledge comes down with amongst the kings also. Atal Nag Prabhu is asking, Lord Chaitanya, how can experience the experience of multiple gopis in multiple moods at the same time? Lord Chaitanya is experiencing the mood of Radharani, Mahabhava of Radharani, that is Mahaprabhu's experience. He is exactly in the mood of Shrimati Radharani. Is Krishna in the mood of Radharani? Praveen Prabhu is asking, I have seen devotees saying Prabhu Prasadam doesn't come under modes and they eat like anything so voraciously, the spicy Prasadam. But clearly, I could see Prabhuji spicy means rasic mode, then how to counteract that logic and moreover convince myself that this attitude of voracious eating is not good. Then this will come when we talk about, Jihva Vegam. I have not yet come. At that time, we will deal with this question. I know I will be answering this question. Sridhar Prabhu is asking, how a student can regulate his belly and not eat more for concentrating for long hours of... I see brahmacharya is often eaten by regulated way, take prasadam for only maintaining the body. Yeah, actually it's not a very easy thing to control the tongue, belly and genitals, as we told you. To the degree your Krishna consciousness increases, automatically these urges will reduce. Therefore, why did I read the 11th canto, those two verses? for explaining this elaborately. No? Therefore, the Krishna consciousness advancement has a direct connection to the sense control. Vinit Prabhu is asking, how to develop respect and love for my guru, even if he is not a good lecturer, but he is a pure devotee. He has done so many things for me, but I am unable to appreciate them. Please guide. Actually, every guru is manifesting Krishna's grace in different ways, in their own way. So, actually, lecture is one of the ways by which we preach. Kurma Prabhu, he preached through kitchen, by teaching people how to cook various types of recipes for Krishna. Similarly, somebody may, there are many inspiring devotees who talk one-to-one in a very personal way, very kind, compassionate way, and they made devotees also. Preaching is not just, somebody can dress the deities very beautifully and attract people to become devotees. That is also preaching. Preaching is not just giving lectures. Yeah. You can ask your senior god brothers how you can be grateful, because they will tell you many past names of your guru and glories of your guru. Now, Anand Prabhu is asking from Saran Chani, I couldn't be able to control the urge to take delicious prasadam by giving excuse that by eating it, Gopet God, how to do it, Prabhuji. Yeah, we will talk about it in the future lectures. It's coming. Kaushik Prabhu is asking, at Sadhana Bhakti, as you told, we find bhakti as unripe to mango, then what inspiration can we have to go to ripe bhakti as a taste for bhakti is little? No, actually, there are many motivators for us. Like, for example, you know, in this world there is suffering. Birth, old age, this is death. There are Trivida Tap also. There is six whips, Kshut, Pipas, Jara, Mrityu, Shoka, Moha. If you don't want these whips, you know, you want to get rid of it. So, sufferings are one of the powerful motivators in the early stage. You can get liberated from this world and go back to Godhead. That's one of the motivators. Another motivator is, after hearing the sweetness and beauty of the spiritual world and the Lord's kind nature, you want to meet the Lord. You know, you want to be with Him in one of the five rasas. So, that is another motivator for us also. And also, when you watch the devotees live such a pure lifestyle, they are another motivator. So, I also want to live like them. I want to have pure habits and like that. There are many motivators, we can say. Shiv Prabhu in Pune is asking, Prabhuji, five knowledge gaining senses and four working senses, we are able to engage in Krishna service, but how to engage genitals in Krishna service? Yeah. Actually, the best way to engage genitals is to use it only for passing urine and not use it for any other purpose. That's the best way you can engage. This is what Chandramuli Maharaj said there. And after you marry, then genitals are engaged for begetting children and raising them in Krishna consciousness. When you are not married, when you are a bachelor, then it should be used only for passing urine and not any other purpose. Rajesh Shri Prabhupada, I have learned from Shri Prabhupada, was a child, the astrology prediction that this child is not an ordinary child, okay? An empowered messenger from the context of free will or destiny. Prabhupada was destined to spread the movement. How does this free will come here? Similarly, a lot of events are destined in our life. Well, you have to hear about the destiny related. We have a lecture you have to hear. Actually, there are things destined in your life, but there are also free will. They both are available for you. In fact, you can change 90% of your destiny, you can change by Krishna consciousness. There is adrida, there is drida adrida, and there is drida. If you write a mail to me, voicemedia.pune@gmail.com. I will send you an article, it will explain to you well. Okay. Prashant Kumar Prabhu is asking, how to find Guru? So, you are in Vilaspur, Prashant Kumar Prabhu. Okay. In Vilaspur, also there is some program going on. You can attend those programs. And first 2, 3, 4 years you attend the program, chant, come to 16 rounds. Then you will also get to know about all the different gurus in ISKCON. You can visit Calcutta or you can visit Mayapur. And in the festival times, all gurus come, you can get to meet. You will know more. And it will be very nice if you attend. There is in Vilaspur, there is a, if you write a mail to us, I will connect you to one Kurma Avatar Prabhu in Kanpur. He comes to Vilaspur. That is his native place in Chhattisgarh. So, then he will guide you for different programs. So when you take advantage of association of the program, very soon you'll find a guru. Huh? Kaushik Prabhu is asking from Allahabad, how can I increase my absorption? That I am planning to cover in one of the youth lecture sessions in the following days. How to increase our spiritual mental absorption. So if you are attending the youth lectures, one of the days you will find it. The topic will be sent to you. Okay? Thank you, Sri Prabhupada ki. Bhakta Vrinda ki. So I am actually planning to do only 7 to 8:30. Today it became a little late. But we'll try to stick to the time next time. Next Sunday. So next Sunday 7 to 8:30. Thank you. But there is a kirtan before 7 also.